Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, so we're actually now recording, and I'm going to go. Let's hope this works.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
This is Magic Badger in Magic Badger Studio, and this is my Dumpty Dum.
This is Dumpty Dum, the show about the reality ducky drama that has centered an Ambridge in the heart of the Midlands. I'm the cow hoof that is Royfield Brown, and with me I have the kick in the mush that is
Lucy Freeman.
And the last part of Pip's face, like a bag of spanners, folks, is you. Now, this week's Dumpty Dum was by Magic Badger, and what a performance. That was awesome. Yeah. Rock out.
It was. It was like he had Prince in there with him.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dredge, Prince up from the dead, and Jimi Hendrix. It was all of those. Oh, but Lucy, dawn of a new age.
Technically
speaking.
Very exciting. It's only taken us three goes to get this far.
Shut up. But Lucy, right, if somebody wants to rock out with Prince and Jimi Hendrix, or maybe rap with, sing along with Beyonce, send us in a Dumpty Dum, how can they do that?
If you would like to sing us a Dumpty Dum, leave us a plot prediction, or, there's nothing there. Or try out some new software and it'd be so exciting that you forget to write the joke that goes in this bit. Then call us on 0203 031 3105 or leave us a message on SpeakPipe. Thanks to Cosmo for his podcast roundups and for doing the Dumpty Dogs, Shambridge for her voices. And to Derek for the Lone in the Back Bedroom. Derek is very disappointed this week as he bought a Charlie Dimmock DVD called Handling Your Overgrown Bush, but it turned out to be Charlie struggling with a huge wigila.
That actually made me laugh. Well done. If you didn't already notice. On this week's episode, we'll call from Titian. Oh, I love you, Titian. Hello, Rachel. Who wants to know when Lillian started not liking socialising Glyn? Who's glad Helen is back? Couldn't disagree with you more there, Glyn. Debs, who's worried about Lillian, and Magic Badger, who can foresee the return of Charlie. Before all of that, it's Lucy V. Freeman's Week in Ambridge.
We began the week with Josh having a heart-to-heart with Pip. "Don't beat yourself up, Pip. We all make mistakes," he said. "I mean, you killed half the cows in the village and I left the keys in a piece of kit I hadn't paid for and then it got stolen and then I tried to persuade my relations and neighbours to commit insurance fraud. You know, it's small stuff. Our parents love us and we're a credit to them. Aren't we? Aren't we?" Pip got kicked in the face by a cow and said there was no sign of a brain injury. "I'd be able to tell by now," she said. "Really? If you say so." As a result, Josh couldn't play cricket and Jolene had to manage with two slips and a short leg, which must have made it look really peculiar. They sent Anisha in first to try and blind the opposing team and then it all got hugely tense. Jolene caught the ball after the Darrington batsman skied it. The crowd went wild and they lost. Josh and Eddie had a lovely day out at a used farm machinery sale. Used farm machinery is in sample sizes and is just like new farm machinery, except it's a bit whiffy under the armpits, but if you give it a good go and a hot wash, it's like new. Over at Bridge Farm, Justin and Lillian bumped into Ruth, who was talking about their impending nuptials. "You're having quite a big one, aren't you?" said Ruth. "No, it's only Justin," said Lillian sadly. "She's trying to work out whether James should give her away." "He won't give her away. He'll try and sell her. He'll hold an auction at the church and they'll get the chap from the cattle market to flog her off and do all that business. Do I hear £17? Lovely hindquarters. She's been covered a few times, but she's still got a bit of go in her. No, sir, I'm not accepting Costa Rican colon. No. Joey is not going down very well in the Gay Grables restaurant, unlike Ian, who always does. But his mind was completely taken off it by Helen saying, "I tell you what, I'm not doing much at the moment. And, you know, this is just an idea. I haven't thought it through. But why don't I carry your unborn child? I mean, in my womb, not in a baby carrier. What do you reckon? Let me know by Wednesday before I pop to Underwoods in case I need to get anything." Then she had a bit of a think and changed her mind. "Hiya, it's me. I can't do that baby thing. Sorry. Drink soon." It's quite a relief, really, as that would be a bloody awful story to tell the child when it was grown up. "Well, your Auntie Helen said she would carry you in her tummy, and I rang your other daddy to tell him, and he was in the middle of shooting a deer through the head, and he called me an idiot once he dealt with the carcass, and that's how we got you." There was some funny old dialogue in this week's. Ian was telling Pat about Joey and said, "I'm just waiting for the next bad thing to happen." "Oh, that doesn't sound good," said Pat. "No, Pat, it's bad. That's why he just said it was bad." Home truths over at Home Farm. It was Kate and Alice's joint birthday party. Emphasis on the joint in Kate's case. Pleasingly, overprivilege met overprivilege, with Kate and Alice swapping insults before they were joined by Nolitando, who is as full of self-righteousness as her mother, tempered with the solipsism of the teenager. Oh, hurrah. Let's hope she stays around. Remind me I said that in 2 weeks' time when I'm plotting ways to kill her. It was Ed's birthday. Emma gave him a burst balloon and a pot to put it in, and Kira gave him a thistle. Then Emma felt sorry for him. She said, "We've all got to have something to aim for, haven't we?" He said, "Yeah, I aimed at Will's dog and look where that got me." Then she gave in and said, "Oh, all right then, tell you what, you can stick a syringe up a sheep's fanny 3 times. No more though, all right, love?" Tobes popped round to inspect Pip's bruises. She was a bit embarrassed, but he said, "I've always taken you as you are," bending over the cattle trough, halfway up a step ladder, etc. We had a tour of the Bridget Riley exhibition with Justin and Lillian. Justin got a bit tired of it because Lillian wouldn't let him join all the dots up, and she suggested going on honeymoon to Rajasthan, but he was worried about the begging. Oh, she'll stop begging if you just give in, Justin. Justin is being very, very nice to Lillian, and coincidentally thinks it might make things a bit easier for her if he took control of all the boring admin stuff in her life. You know, business, houses, savings accounts. Then she can really concentrate on the important stuff, like save the sodding date cards. Justin said if they joined forces, they'd be stronger together. Yes, Justin, I think you'll find that's a Hillary Clinton slogan. And Lillian, if ever you needed a metaphor about signing up to something and ending up with the wrong bloke who turns out to be a fantasizing psychopath, I cannot think of a better metaphor. The end.
Oh, that's a classic. Well done, you. You need to write more when you're off your tits on cough medicine. Really. Because that was bad, loose and dangerous, Lucy. Well done.
Can I just, listeners, can I just clarify? I was not off my tits, as Roy Ford so eloquently put it. But I had an extremely high temperature and was slightly doolally. That's what was going on. Yes.
Yeah. Where I'm from, that's called being off your tits. So if you doolally.
Well, oh, and I forgot. I need to apologise to the caller innerers. Mm-hmm. I found out how to cut all the calls at 2 minutes, so that's what I've done, only I didn't tell anyone, I forgot to say.
Well, you know what, I don't know how you managed to do that. I didn't even know you could do that.
I know, I went into settings and had a fertile around and I found it. I thought I shall have a bit of that, so I did it, and then I thought I must tell Royfield, and then it went completely out of my head. I did it ages ago.
Well, here's the thing, right, because everybody was saying to me it's gone down to 2 minutes. And I nearly complained to the people who host, because that's a different price plan. That's a cheaper
one. Oh, no! Is it?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. More expensive or less?
No, less expensive. Less expensive.
Oh, good. That's all right, then.
Well, yeah. So, anyway. Win. Yeah. But it means that when Millie and...
Yeah, she got a bit of a shock, I think. I'm sorry, Millie Bell, you had to go rattling through 100 miles an hour. Sorry!
But anyway, all's well that ends well. So now we know. Now we know. Yes. Lucy, blame Lucy.
Yeah,
so, Luce, just before we go into the caller in, what were your highlights of the last 7 days in Ambridge?
Yes, I'm going to just say lots of things that everyone else is going to say later on. I got slightly annoyed by the patronising.
Yes, women have saved the cricket team. We would not have a cricket team if it were not for women. Hurrah for women! Which got a bit tedious, I have to say. Especially as Jolene was the only one we heard.
You're never happy.
I know. I'm
never
sorry.
Happy.
What else did I like?
Just whilst we were on the cricket, I actually enjoyed having detail about the cricket because we don't normally have that. And if we had it every Sunday when there's a cricket match, it'd become, you know, wearisome and tiresome so fast. But to have a little bit of detail in terms of well, such and such is on the. Silly mid-off and such and such is on the boundary. We're going to whack Jolene out there because she's rubbish and whatever, but she did actually then catch the ball. I actually thought it was actually quite good. And I like the fact that they still lost. So it wasn't as if the women came to save the day and to make them win the championship. But the team has been saved.
They just didn't lose it as catastrophically as they would have done without the women.
Exactly. So I thought that was a nice touch. Anyway, as you were...
I very much enjoyed... Kate's birthday party.
Well, and I know...
Apart from the arrival of Nolly Tando, which got right on my wick. But she's got to be there. She's an interesting character to have there.
Mm. Well, there should have been more. But I know that Titian talks about that later on. And I'd go so far as to say I was slightly let down because I thought there was going to be more. You know? But I do like the little bit of argy-bargy between her, Kate, and Alice. I'm loving that.
Yeah.
Love a little bit of sibling rivalry.
And I love the way that they both call each other selfish and they're both, you know, unbelievably blind to their own kind of failings and how completely massively overindulged they both are.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Pip getting hit in the mush. Well, you know, is that going to rearrange facial features for the better? Or what does that mean? What does that actually mean, Lucy, in terms of pushing the story on?
I don't know. I think it was just a way of showing that Toby liked her just because of who she was rather than what she looks like. Whereas old, what's her face? What was her name? The one that was the sound effect of the wheels spinning and the door banging.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah,
Kit Kat or something. She was all about the looks, and he said, you know, I just like you, and da da da, and they sort of got quite friendly, despite the fact that her nose was just under her left ear. So you know, I thought that was quite sweet, really. Yeah, as you said, I am worryingly warming to Toby and Pip.
You know, it happens to all of us. You know, that this.
I know, you planted the idea in my head, you git.
Well, not me. I think you find out as a script writer, Lucy. Right, you know, they actually plot these things out. They manipulate us. We're mere marionettes, you know, at the end of their plot devices, really. But also, what I did like about that was you saw a level of warmth and concern between Pip and Josh. That actually they're not just warring siblings, you know, he rallied to the cause, et cetera, et cetera. And you've seen that play out in the subsequent week where, you know, they have asides to each other, which I thought was good.
Oh, can I just say as well?
If you must.
There are trois things I want to say. Firstly, I like like many siblings, they actually get on fine when the parent isn't in the room.
Okay.
And I think anybody that has got siblings or has got sibling, you know, if you've got more than one child, basically, you will know that their behaviour to each other is much, much nicer than when you're there. And then it goes all wrong. And I think there's such a sort of a squabbling for attention between the Archer children. Mm-hmm. That's what you hear, so that you hear them being genuine when they're nice to each other. I can hear a lot of kind of back chat on this.
Well, you know, I heard myself once, right?
No, I can't hear me. I can hear someone else.
Really?
It's like a crossed line in the 1970s.
Oh, dear. I must admit, I can't. But I did hear myself once, and I just turned myself down in the headphones a little.
Oh, okay, maybe it's that. And also, we are recording this, because I was late, for which I apologise, on the day that Theresa May gave her barnstorming speech to the leadership at the Tory Party conference. And one of our listeners retweeted somebody called Cakey Doo on the Twitters, who did this little poem. May stood on the burning deck. Her voice was all a quiver. She gave a cough. I can't say it. Her voice was all a quiver. She gave a cough. Her F fell off and floated down the river. That just really made me laugh.
I haven't actually seen any of the speech, though. I've seen. But it was a disaster and a half, by all accounts.
Yeah. If you enjoy the day to day, or. The thick of it. That's basically what it was like.
Wow.
If you scripted
and
really it, couldn't
letters
have been
fell off the back of the. Of
yes.
The...
Yeah. It went for everybody, and then it changed to or everybody halfway through. The F fell off. Somebody handed her a P-45. That pillock who Lee Nelson, the character Lee Nelson, came in dressed as a spad, and he rushed up to the front and handed her this P-45, and then he got hustled out of the building.
He's been arrested. Breach of the peace.
Yeah. It is staggering he was able to get so close to her. That's quite worrying.
Hmm.
You know, the fact that all you need to be is a white bloke with a lanyard and you'll get in, you know, is quite worrying.
about white blokes and privilege. Yeah. Josh, how do you feel? This Del Boy Trotter impression.
Yeah.
Quad bikes. Now, I have a slightly different take that actually he's just been businesslike.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his orders, right? And now he's going to fulfill the orders by actually buying the stuff. So he knows the money's there. But the reaction on the Twitters was that he was worse than Del Boy Trotter. Now, yes, he is, you know, in terms of potentially wanting to commit fraud, not potentially, actually wanting to commit fraud, that's wrong. But actually what he was doing was actually really pretty smart.
I think we have a big... I think in America, he'd be lauded for being entrepreneurial, and here he is loathed for being a cocky little shite. I think there's kind of... It's two sides of the same coin.
You're onto something, but I don't think it's the whole picture. Because number one, to be able to... You know, there's a demand for something. I will go and get the product which is in demand. I do not want to have it sat on a shelf or in a garage depreciating... And whatever. As soon as you say you want it, I'll go find it. That's smart.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Yeah.
His attitude is not holding stock. Exactly.
Yeah.
His attitude is all wrong. And he's a cocky little shit.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
You know, the way he's kind of speaking to people and stuff is completely and utterly wrong and whatever. However, what he's doing is really smart. And I kind of got the impression people saying, oh, this is really spiv behavior. No, it's not. It's pretty smart behavior.
Yeah.
However, he is a cocky little spiv.
But it's also the way he's talking to Toby, the way he's talking to Rex.
Yeah.
You know, he says, how are you? Right. Anyway, can you go and do this for me? You know, it's sort of very offhand, and people won't want to work for him. But then, you know, it's, you know, Adam said in this week, he said, you don't have to be liked to be a good boss.
Mm.
And I think you need to be respected. And nobody's going to nobody respects somebody that's just rude and, you know, indifferent to them. And that's what he is. He's just self-obsessed. But he's kind of panicky because he's so terrified that he's going to get this wrong and be humiliated in front of his sister, humiliated in front of his parents, that half of the very rapid decisions he makes are driven out of sort of panic. And then he kind of just makes a decision and then thinks, oh, shit, and then has to sort of backfill frantically to and then the silly decisions come in. Then the dodgy tactics come in.
Mm. Yeah. All right. Have we filled enough now?
Yeah.
Awesome. Right, now it's time for a bit of this then. Oh.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
Who's first, Lucy?
Why is the phone still ringing when she's answered?
Because I haven't edited it, the file completely, and so when I switched it off.
I was thinking, thank I'm sure I'd have noticed that.
That out, Lucy.
I thought, my God, 200 episodes, have we done that every single time?
No, it's because, you know, because we're trying something new. Yes. And right, but I will edit down the call.
It's good to experiment. It stops things getting stale, Roy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yes. Is that, do you take that attitude into the boudoir? Or is that a different podcast?
That's a different podcast.
Okay.
Who should we have? Let's have Glyn.
Hello, Dumpty Dum and all in Dumpty Dum land. It's Glyn here. Thursday night call. Lots of things happening in the Archers this week. But first of all, I see from the Twitters that our fellow Dumpty Dummer, Dusty Substances, has fallen, broken her ankle and has had to wait around for an operation. And that all sounds a bit terrible. So I think I'd love to use the airwaves of Dumpty Dum here to send my best regards and hope all fellow Dumpty Dummers feel the same. And perhaps we should all have a little sympathy limp for a few seconds. Anyway, back to the Archers. Pip's been kicked in the face by a cow. Struggling to find any sympathy there. So let's move on to Helen.
I like the little, cow noise.
Interesting little cameo with her this week, reminding us of what, you know, Helen was like before Rob came onto the scene. Controlling, telling her parents where to get off and all that kind of stuff. And just, you know, wondering why. Is that setting us up for something else in her story? Well, let's wait and see. Josh. Well, I think somebody suggested Josh had been to the Eddie Grundy School of Business Management when the loader was stolen. I have to say, I think he's been to the Matt Crawford School of Management Ethics when it comes to his behaviour over the insurance scams that he's been proposing, which is nothing short of disgraceful. And in the old days, the BBC would never even stoop to broadcast such things, I'm sure. But anyway, I think that's enough for me. So I hope everybody has a great week in Dumpty Dumland. And again, Dusty, hope you get better soon. And thank you very much to all involved.
Oh.
See, that's me in my 2-minute cutoff. You see, I've baffled everybody.
Mm. And it was almost timing it to perfection. But that one makes all the difference,
yep.
Doesn't it, Lucy?
Yep.
All right.
Oh, yes.
Get better next week, Glyn. Come on, pull your socks up, sir.
And get well soon, Dusty. Hop along, Substances.
Yeah, I love the, you know, the limp in sympathy. Yeah.
The limpathy simp. Yeah. That's what we need.
That's it. Simp. Well done.
I think, though, that when Eddie pointed out to Josh, he said, that's the kind of thing you can get banged up for. Josh suddenly went, what, prison? I didn't say anything then. And I just genuinely think he doesn't know. I think he's incredibly naive.
Hmm. Can I let you into a little family secret, Lucy?
Yes.
Right. It's the 1970s. Picture a little black family in Birmingham wearing bell-bottom trousers and having big afros. It's the 1970s. Right.
Okay.
And my mum and dad
I'm
had.
I'm picturing the Jackson 5 now, but anyway, let's
carry
on.
Jackson 3, or the Brown 3 okay. is what we were. So we had this little semi-detached house. It was next to a gully, Right, so there's a little driveway next to our house. Now, we, my parents realised after we were broken in by the second time that we're prone to be broken into because people could just drive their car to the side of the house, yeah. then round the back, jump over the fence. First time this happened, I'm about six. I remember it vividly. We come home from visiting an aunt and the house had just been ransacked. We go upstairs, my mum's jewellery is everywhere. Ooh. And I remember saying, Glenn, they've gone through my jewellery. And I never got my mum crying her eyes out. It was horrible. Happened again about 2 years later. Broken into. And I can remember the tread marks on the kitchen worktop surface where somebody gone in through the window. The third time it happened, Luce, right? No tears, no histrionics from my parents. Right. Now, you kind of know where this is going.
I'm getting it.
No histrionics at all. My dad did a recce of every room of the house and said, right, they haven't taken a thing. They've obviously just been disturbed. He said, son, get the speaker boxes in the attic. Everything of value is going into the attic. Right.
Yeah.
And then he called the police. And he said, we've been cleaned out. Lucy, I've never been so nervous as a little 10-year-old sat on that settee when my dad was lying through his teeth, right? And the police officers, a man and a woman, as clear as day, 38 years later, I can see them in front of me. And she had a little notepad. So, Mr. Brown, what has been taken? He said, me speakers and my stereo system is gone, officer. We've been cleaned out.
I have Scotland with the good stuff.
And I was there quivering and shaking. You know, he should have turned to me and said, what's gone? And I said, he's lying, it's all upstairs. I was so scared, Lucy. Right. And then 20 minutes, they went, and my dad went, right, get everything down now, son, come on, right? And wow. Right, so, don't get me wrong, I'm not condoning insurance fraud, but my poor parents had been through the mill, right? That in hindsight, I understand what they did. I don't condone it. I'm not saying I would have done it. And the only thing I can say, to pull this back down to the Archers, is that, you know, Josh was in a pickle, but he should not have even, you know, thought to do this, let alone to go and ask Eddie. It's one thing, a slight aside to his father, to say, hey, Dad, you know, can you help us out here? That's one thing. To go and ask Eddie. Oh, come on now, Josh. Slap across the face. Anyway.
Yes. I'm very shocked by this. I'm not sure I can continue with the podcast. I am consorting with a known felon.
No. Listen, I was an innocent bystander. I saw the fraud being committed.
Go and get it. Go and get the stuff down from the loft, boy. Where are you, Dad?
Yeah. Anyway, so, Glyn, awesome, cool. Who's next, Lucy?
Deb's from Germany.
All right, we can do Debs in Germany when I press this.
Good evening, Royfield, Lucy, Naked Fingers, Jacoba, and everybody in Dumpty Dumland. It's Debs from Germany here. Haven't called in for a while because I've had some speak pipe issues. Royfield very kindly messaged me to get them sorted out. And then, sod's law, I had absolutely nothing that I wanted to say that I thought everybody else hadn't got to before I did. But this week is completely different. Justin is really showing his true colours again, isn't he?
Yep.
And for those of you that thought that he was the safe option and Matt was the naughty boy but the attractive boy, I just want to say to Lillian, run. Run now. Cancel the photographers. Cancel Lower Loxley. Cancel absolutely everything. You are not swapping the hurly-burly of the chaise long for the deep, deep peace of the double bed. This man is going to screw with you in a way that Matt never did. And the difference is that Matt didn't ever drag you away from family parties, didn't do any of the things that Justin's doing to you. You are going to get hurt. You didn't want to marry him anyway. You just thought that maybe you should. Stop pull away now. And the other thing I wasn't saying, how very, very glad I was that the Helen surrogate storyline got stopped in its tracks so quickly. I can imagine the scriptwriters meeting going, going to go for this. And then the producer said, absolutely not. I just could not have gone through another bad pregnancy, all the angst, everything else. So I'm so thankful that that isn't going to be an option. I hope I've made the cut. I hope you haven't recorded this before I've managed to rung in. And I wish you all a lovely weekend.
Thank you, Debs. By the way, Debs is now on Twitter. She keeps sending messages going, am I doing this right? She's on at Debs from G. So everybody must follow her. Toot sweet. I could not agree more. If in that situation it had been Matt and Lillian at the boring business networking thing, Lillian getting a bit pissy boots and telling rude jokes, Matt would have told better jokes. He would not have said, God's sake, you're embarrassing yourself. It's just horrible. And it's not, it really, really doesn't bode well if he's doing that already and they're not married yet. Ugh. Run, Lillian. I agree with Debs.
Lucy. I've, this is a common refrain from me, that The Archers has actually been the Helen Archer show for up until the end of the Rob storyline. It had been that way from, you know, pre-Rob for at least 3 years beforehand, since the birth of Henry. It's been the Helen Archer show. When she said she wanted to be the surrogate, and Pat went, what?
Yeah.
Right. I nearly...
And 35,000 other people all went, what?
Lucy, I nearly exploded. I nearly, seriously, bought myself a ticket to fly back to London just to picket Broadcasting House. Seriously. I was horrified in... It isn't just the preposterousness of the whole of that as a storyline. I don't care for the character. Or more to the point, I don't hear anything significant from the character for the next 3 years. I really don't. Take a back seat. She's an amazing...
Is it not enough that you're in Coronation Street to settle for that? Well, how many other soap operas do you want to be on?
Even that thought did run through my mind. She's an amazing actor. And I don't want people to think that I, you know, I'm disparaging her as a professional. It's because she's so bloody good. But we've just devoted so much time and energy and oxygen to this woman. I just really take a bloody back seat. Right, for the next 3 years. Don't hear a peep out of it other than...
But also, it's really interesting that it shows the kind of the laxity of the surrogacy, the legalities surrounding surrogacy. A woman that's just got off a manslaughter charge and has two children suffer, both of whom she nearly died with preeclampsia on both times, one of whom was the subject of an attempted abduction, could within a year be a surrogate for someone else.
Well, this hadn't gone any further than her just kind of thinking about it. But still, I think it was genius of the scriptwriters to say, well, Helen being Helen and wanting to save everybody, she would hold her hand up and say, yeah, I could do that. But, you know, but then she'd have a think about it and go, actually, no. Right. And and how would it affect, you know, her two other children? The fact that, mom can just give up a child and just, you know, even if it, not to strangers, admittedly, but to other members of the family. But seriously, I was so angry. Nothing has got me more angry in The Archers than that for 24 hours until she stood down. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
High simmer. Seriously, I was going to do somebody a mischief. But anyway, so thank God that storyline did not come to pass.
Yes, I think we all breathed a sigh of relief.
Yeah.
It was, you know, I don't think I could have coped with Pat as well, clocking round her for another 9 months.
Well,
either, you know, and all of that.
I've discovered something. Right, and I'm going to slightly revise an opinion I have of a character. I've always been a big fan of Ian, and I've always said that Ian was the moral conscience of the show, of the writers anyway, that he plays it with a straight bat. He's thoughtful, considerate. He's even-handed, which is another way of saying thoughtful and considerate. But, you know, he's just a good egg. He doesn't have a side to him, Ian. He's fucking potty. Right, don't get me wrong. I appreciate that you want to become a parent, right? I really do, right? But come on, right? He's making me actually feel sorry for Adam. He's boxing Adam into... How the hell would somebody with his emotional intelligence... react other than like with horror when Helen says, yeah, I'll carry a baby for you.
Yeah.
He should have said, you're mad woman. You're just, you nearly got sent down to Clink for murdering somebody. Yes, you were pushed into it massively. Chill out, relax for a few years. Yeah. You don't need this stress on your head. I was like, come on, Ian, now. You're not the person I thought you were. And I've got to say, top banana, well done to the writers for actually showing us that Ian isn't just some kind of saint. He's not just saint Ian that comes up with great vol-au-vents out of the Grey Gables kitchen. That actually
and, be and good bits bloody... of advice to all the female characters.
Exactly. He's a bloody Burke. Right. Yeah. I'm sorry. Anyway, that's it. My anger is being spent. I'm chill out now.
I feel spent, everybody. We can all relax.
Yeah, the Buddhism can kick back in now. God, I was so angry.
You can't swing from psychopath to Buddhist on a whim, you know. It's not in the manual. Titian, now.
Hello, Titian here. Haven't dialed in for ages, but there's so many fun things going on. I thought I'd give you a bit of waffle. I hope they bring back Lexi. I loved Roy having a bit of love interest with someone who didn't fire him. I was wondering, is it normal for multiple surrogates to approach couples? I mean, poor Adam, he probably thought it'd be safe to agree to what Ian wanted because they didn't think they'd bloody find one. I'm loving the comedy of Kate. My children have always given me such joy. And Adam's reply, have they? But I do feel really cheated that we didn't hear everybody's feedback at her birthday because I loved how badly she took it. It was brilliant. I wouldn't say nolitondu, it's not me anymore. Reminds me of Johnny Vegas' drunk sister in Benidorm. I don't know if anyone else has noticed that. Since when does Lillian hate attending and arranging events? I think good on her for standing up for Justin, but it's a little bit out of character, even if she is cheesed off. I thought there was an interesting assertion of the word mistress into their awkward farewell as well. I know he's up to something, but I really hope he brings Charlie back. Sorry for the noise in the background. That's my dog chewing on a reindeer horn. Anyway, ta-ta for now. Bye.
Yes.
Yes. That party where people were wandering around saying, hello, would you like me to have your baby? Sounded like a kind of a really bizarre swingers party. Do you remember that one of my favourite Victoria Wood lines ever was when she was describing, she said, I went to one of those car key parties once. She said, I don't know who got my Fiat, but I was driving that Volvo for years. Anyway, so it's a complete aside. Yes, that was an extremely bizarre, and if ever you wanted to put anybody off surrogacy, i.e. Adam, that would be the very way to do it. Take them to a party where, you know, these women are wandering, and it's just bizarre. The whole thing was really peculiar. People they don't know that they've met online. It's the whole thing was just really nuts. And yes, I completely agree. Lillian, you know, did she only like those networking events, which are incredibly tedious, as you know, we all know? Did she only like them because it enabled her to get close to Justin when he was sexy Justin rather than quite boring Justin, which he is now?
I've no idea. I don't quite... Sorry, I'm going to start that again. I don't quite understand where this storyline is going, but I like where it's going. I like the fact that I don't quite understand what's going on. Yes, Justin, as a previous caller has said, is up to no good up there in Scotland or wherever the heck he's going. And he's definitely cooled and he's becoming much more of a traditional man of that age and of that class in terms of how he sees his partner, shall we say, right? So he wants to now control her business and whatever. But yeah. Her reaction to everything is interesting as well, and I don't quite understand. But I'm in for it for the ride and for the journey. Mm. So I don't know.
What do you reckon he's doing in Scotland? Do you think it is Charlie? I mean, I don't mean he's doing Charlie in Scotland. I mean,
what, do Pope? Justin's on.
Do you think he'd speak faster if he was? I think. Because when he answered the phone, he said, "Is this a good time? This isn't a good time. So can you make this quick?" And if he was trying to sort of court Charlie back, he wouldn't use that tone to him. So does that mean that...
No, he was always really brusque with Charlie, though, wasn't he? He was always offhand. He completely nothing.
In fact, he was so brusque that we started to think for a while that Charlie was his son or something.
Not we.
I did. Yes, me. You. Yes, I'll hold my hand up to that lunatic supposition. But anyway.
Yeah. So
we think it is a Charlie Thomas thing, do we?
I want it to be. I want it to be because Charlie was a great character. And he put the cat amongst the pigeons with Adam and Ian. And as I said a couple of weeks ago, I just find them pair crushingly boring. I know that is the point. I get the point. The point is it's the first established gay couple in the village and they're not going to play up to gay tropes. Yeah. I get that. But God, let them just be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, and I've always been a big Ian fan, but come on now. Yeah. Come on now. Yeah. And this is actually not the device to do it, this storyline with the surrogacy, because we're all just kind of just rolling our eyes. And that's nothing which is, you know, it's nothing to do with homophobia. It's just the dynamic of them actually as a couple, as a team, actually doesn't really work. It doesn't, you know.
No, it doesn't. You're right.
Yeah, you know, and compare and contrast that with Pip and Toby, and we're all kind of we've understood what happened before in the past. He was a little bit kind, you know, he seemed exciting, she kind of got with him, it was all a big mistake. He subconsciously used her. He didn't set out to use her, but he did. He relied upon her financially, etc., etc. He's now starting to realize the error of his ways, but he's making somewhat of a success of his business and genuinely misses her. And you can kind of see that, and they're slowly kind of coming back together. Whereas this pair, even, you know, they had...
They were still boring when they were shagging other people in car parks,
exactly,
weren't they?
Exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say. Even when Ian was understandably upset that he'd discovered that Adam had gone off with Charlie, what real pathos or sympathy did we even really feel for Ian? Other than, your partner shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Do you know what I think part of the problem is?
What?
I think it's Adam's delivery. I think he gives everything this sort of film noir urgency, whatever it is, you know, when he says, "Are you coming in for breakfast, Dad?" "Well, hello, Adam, are you coming in? Your mother's made some bacon sandwiches. You're coming in for breakfast?" "Brian, I can't. I've got to get this thing done." You know, and you think, what? You're only changing a bloody tyre.
Yeah, he does,
but
sound
it's like
a casual,
you know, I have
character.
To save the Western world from conspiracy, you know.
You are right.
And so there's nowhere to go. When he does get really het up, he hasn't got another gear to go into because everything is always like this.
Everything's on a knife edge all the time.
Yeah.
And he's doing he's got his best British resolve to keep things going. And he is the archetypal male character who sighs. There's so many sighs to a an aside, and you know.
No, that's the John Finnemore thing, isn't it? Hello, man who sounds tired all the time. Hello, other man who sounds tired all the time. Yeah.
But to be fair to the actor that plays Adam, whose name I do not recollect, so I do apologise to you, sir, if you are a listener of Dumb De Dumb. What I would say is that there have been some lighter moments in the character of Adam with Kate, which might actually be this week. I really can't remember. But, you know, that he can switch the character and the actor. Let's say the actor primarily can switch a gear and actually have the odd bit of comedy. And I think that is one of the reasons why we've never really taken to the character of Adam, because he's always been exasperated and with this border just beneath the surface level of anger.
Yeah.
He's ready to just kick off at Brian, isn't he?
He's just exasperated at everybody
exactly.
all the time.
Whereas just about every other character has those, as you said, you know, has those other gears, and that other gear can be a bit of comedy. You know, David can, you know, there's his interaction with Kenton. It's comedic, right?
Yeah.
It isn't just him and Ruth playing it pretty straight and whatever. You know, every other character has some other person in the village who they react to, and it's just for laughs.
Mm.
Or at least laughs are there. Adam doesn't have that with anybody. And that's the reason why we just go, oh, it's Adam again.
Yeah.
But he did have that with Kate this week, so...
good.
Yeah, right. I am a soothsayer looking into the future. Because we're not talking about
this. Now you've finished saying your sooths, then let's have Magic Badger.
Ooh, all right then.
Hello, Dumpty Dummers everywhere. Magic Badger here. Second time calling from Magic Badger Studio in New Brighton, aka the Scouse Riviera, with another round of wildly inaccurate plot predictions.
Excellent.
Okay, here we go. Along with everybody else, I've been bored stiff by the Adam and Ian baby saga. I think we all knew what was coming several weeks ago, and we could just imagine that look of abject horror on Adam's face when Helen handed Jack over to him to take care of for, I don't know, 10 seconds. She packed away all the picnic paraphernalia. In the background, could hear Ian and Henry frolicking idyllically. I do actually think they'll go through with it. They'll find a surrogate and end up acquiring a little cherub. But the trouble's going to come further down the line, I think. I'm guessing that the gestation period of a human baby and that of an industrial pig unit roughly the same. That's going to open the door for the return of Charlie Thomas as a manager of the new facility. And you know, Adam, he just can't help himself. When faced between the choice of yet another sleepless night spent changing nappies or the prospect of a quickie behind the back of a high-tech abattoir, I think the temptation would be just too great. The summer's other dull-as-dishwater storyline, this affordable housing and Edna Emma's whining about undeserving cages getting a house before they do. That might get a bit of a kick up the arse if Ursula were to come back to the village. She was a nasty piece of work, but her husband was worse, and if she somehow managed to do a Helen on him, but finished the job, she could come back the grieving, impoverished widow, desperate to be closer to little Gideon. Sorry, Jack. And with the surprising success of Toby's scruff gin, I'm also looking forward to other Ambridge pets getting in on the act with some other domestic livestock-sponsored products coming to the market. I don't know, maybe a Hilda Ogden flick knife would do well, and perhaps we'll eventually be able to go to B&Q and buy some commemorative Bartleby glue. So for now, keep up the good work, everyone. Over and out.
He's great.
He's very funny. Which of us hasn't had a quickie behind a high-tech abattoir, Magic Badger? Don't be so bourgeois.
You need to call in more often, sir. Go on.
One of my favourite things was his pronunciation of the name Ursula. We've been calling her Ursula for ages, and he's just going with Ursula. Yes. The Hilda Ogden flick knife. I like that too. I like that prediction, and I had completely forgotten about the pigging pig unit reopening.
Mm.
And you are quite right. And maybe that is what he's talking to Charlie about. Hoorah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah. We kind of foreshadowed a lot of what he said in terms of our response.
Yes, we did. But he said it in a funnier way than we did. So that's fine.
I think he should be hosting this show. That was a tour de force. That was a 2-minute guffaw-a-thon, sir. Well done.
Oh, we've had an email from Maisie Jet
with
a plot prediction. Mm-hmm. She says, Ed and Emma talking AI being the way to profit from the Texel sheep. Soon, Emma will be persuading Ed to the benefit of AI. No, she means persuading Ed to benefit from AI. Care of Ian and Adam to get the money they need for house. Appreciate this financial transaction cloaked in secrecy since illegal. Surrogate baby girl will fall in love with George Grundy, not realising that they are brother and sister. Hilarious consequences all round, she says. question mark. Yes.
Sounds
very Thomas
like
Hardy.
Game of
Again.
Thrones. It's Game of Thrones, isn't it?
It does.
It's Daenerys and Jon Snow.
But I think the Emma Because Adam's always liked Emma. She needs money. They're not allowed to do it in this country, so there will be some... It will have to be cloaked in secrecy, as Maisie Jepp says. But I think that's a cracking plot prediction. And actually would sort of give Ed and Emma that sort of lift that they need to sort themselves out.
Bonkers. You can't be serious.
No, I think that's what's going to happen.
Well, if it happens, it's bonkers. Adam.
Should we have a bet?
Adam, for all of his, you know, your incredibly dreariness, right, at least he's sane, right? Are you seriously going to say to a woman in a village of, what, 80 people? There's only ever 80 characters in the Archers, right? Bring up this child for, sorry, not bring up this child. No, just date, you know, this child for us, please. And it's just no. Surely, and people can tell me I'm wrong here, right? But successful surrogacy, you need distance between the person who births a child and the people who are going to bring it up. You know, physical distance. Because otherwise, it's just too confusing, surely.
Well, I don't know. But you're saying that it's going to happen. Yeah, no, I really think it's going to happen. Oh. By the way, I do love the way that Ed talks about Texel sheep as if they're smack. He kind of says, I can handle, I'll just do a couple of Texel sheep, Emma, honestly. I can take Texel sheep or I can leave them alone, you know. It's just this one Texel sheep, Emma. No, Ed, we've been through this before. Just three. Oh, all right then, just three. Oh, thanks, Emma.
Yeah. Old habits die hard. Ed Grundy. But I did think that was, as a little bottle episode, because I think, wasn't that the episode where there was a lot of Emma? And it wasn't just Emma and Ed, it was Emma and somebody else, and I forget who she was talking to as well.
Helen,
exactly. But as a bottle episode, I thought that was great. But also the way that they came to a resolution, with her initial reaction being, this is bonkers, we need to safeguard this money, etc., etc. Then her realising and then saying it to Ed, that I realise this is important to you and you need to have your own aspirations as well.
I like the way, though, the money was given to him and she says, and he has to ask her if he can do it, and she gets the casting vote on whether or not they do it.
Well, if that was the other way around, you wouldn't like it, would you?
No, it's just interesting. It's a dynamic. It was like he was talking to his mum. Oh, thanks, mum, when she said
but
yes.
No, but you know what, though? But they're a team, though, aren't they? So, do you remember some months ago we talked about Fallon and Harrison, and the fact that Harrison was the one who had the savings, but he was prepared to... the house 50-50.
Yeah.
And we were saying, but that's just what couples do. Now, there was a listener, one Catherine Kavanagh, that said no. And she thought that we somewhat were disparaging to her point of view that Fallon should, if she can't go into this thing kind of 50-50 financially, she shouldn't do it. And there are downsides, etc. And I'm sure probably legally there actually are. But primarily, when you get married to somebody, you're not talking about just cohabiting, but, you know, married to somebody, not that legalities do not matter, but you don't do it thinking of the law, do you? You do it because actually you love this person and you want to share things with them and everything with them. So I think it was an astute observation of yours that she obviously, you know, he is working. She's doing three jobs. They're bringing up these children. Yeah. But she has the financial purse strings, you know, and that isn't
then
a problem.
And she's always been so much more sensible than he is. Yeah. I mean, I would trust Emma more than I'd trust
if I was going to... two brothers and having babies by both of them, sensible, but not, I hear you. I hear you.
if you were going to send somebody with your card to the cash machine, with your PIN, would you send Ed or Emma?
Well, depends if there's a Coke dealer next to the cash machine. You never see the cash.
A technical dealer. They ain't got no 20s, so I got you a sheep. Thanks, Ed.
Right, so that's emails dealt with. We come into... All right, so now it's time for us to take a brief little sojourn and then come back the other side with some Millie Bell action. Oh, by the way, Lucy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm sipping on right now?
Don't know.
Well, it's not a fisherman's
friend. Camp Coffee.
Yes, Camp Coffee. There you go, Camp Coffee, because we're sending you a proposal for you to sponsor us.
Yes, I haven't done that yet, have I? Sorry.
Right, so Camp Coffee is the elixir of gods. Love it. It's black gold. Love Camp Coffee. I drink it 3 times a day, puts air on my chest and really clears...
You haven't got any hair on your chest. You said that last week.
Right, Lucy. Yeah, I'm just pimping the show for Camp Coffee so they'll sponsor us.
All right.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Look what free speech has gotten you, right? And if free speech is going to bring a Hitler to power, are you still going to defend the rights of those people to speak?
If you talk about the things that affect your daily life.
The secret to being a good actor.
I don't really care, actually, whether Britain remains Britain.
His dad was actually murdered in front of him.
Marine Le Pen has changed the Front National.
If it's like kind of like a documentary investigative reporting, serialized true crime, it often gets into questions about the justice system or the media.
In an uncertain world, there's always music which can be listened to in good company. Welcome to Friday 15, the show where we speak to friends and interesting people to the backdrop of great tunes and allocate 15 minutes to both.
Good question. Really good question.
Bake Off is back on your TV this week, albeit on a new channel and with new presenters, so it's good to know there's one thing you can rely on, and that is Kat and Mim with their soggy bottoms. Go to iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. And remember, to get in contact with us, you can leave a voice message via SpeakPipe on the website or call 0203 031 3105. That's 0203 031 3105 to leave a message.
G'day everyone. I notice that the speak pipe has now changed from 5 minutes to 2 minutes, so I'm going to have to get on the Dumpty Dum forum. There was a really interesting post about the September 2017 stats, and as raw data alone, it is very interesting, so I suggest you go there. Discussions about Adam and Ian's bundle of blah, Pip and Toby, Lexi and Roy, and Team Dusty, Lindy Bots, and the Panto. So please go to dumptydum.com/forums. I'm going to have to go very quickly through Facebook this week, so I'm really sorry to all those people that I wanted to name in particular. But we talked about, I'll just tell you what we talked about, so you can jump onto Facebook if you'd like to join in. We talked about tip Pip's temp work, which was clearly flagged as something was going to happen with that plot line. And there's a we wondered what else has been flagged that we might discuss in the future or might see happening on The Archer. So go and have a look at that. There were some very interesting suggestions. Some very good financial advice from Robin Winning when we talked about Josh playing a financially dangerous game. Very sensible, and it makes you wonder where they're getting their information from about finance and particularly insurance on The Archers. We also talked about whether Lillian should merge her business with Justin's. I was going to read some out, but I'm telling you the majority said absolutely not. We also gave you the opportunity to give Kate some positive and critical feedback for her 40th, and there were some really funny ones on there, so suggest you get involved in that. We also talked about Emma, you're a star, Josh, you're a fly boy, and Pip Run, it's a trap. And finally, because it is Saturday, we've been talking about holidays. What's the best holiday you've ever had? What's the worst place you've ever been and why? So if you'd like to get involved in any of these, do jump on. And meanwhile, I'll talk to the lovely Royf and find out why I only get 2 minutes. Until next time, hooroo.
Yes, do talk to Royf about that.
No, talk to Lucy, Millie.
Sorry, it was only afterwards that it was only when I checked this week that I realised that it also cut off Millie Bell.
Well,
is there another way Millie Bell can do her thing?
Millie, okay. Just send me a message and there is a way around it.
Right. Sorry, so, Millie Bell.
Right then, shall we do your tweets of the last 7 days?
We should. Victoria G. I have never asked my family to say what they honestly think of me. Indeed, I have often asked them not to. I think that's like an awful lot of us. Pajama Llama said, remember Mads, everyone? She was Ian's best friend for 3 weeks. Yes, appeared, disappeared, and apparently ruined his life. What rubbish. Another Pajama Llama one. We've got 2 Pajama Llamas this week. Beautiful or useful? That's Pip out on her ear then. Yes, quite right. And Ian and Sibel, during when Ed was talking about how all the tractor work had gone to Johnny, and you know, everybody makes money except him. Is Ed about to break out into Jeremy Corbyn? Yes, there is definitely something of that feeling about the Grundys at the moment. And Scarlet Sparrow 1 wins Tweet of the Week with, which village woman will be the surrogate? My bet is Emma. Ed can have a ram and Emma gets a deposit.
Hey.
Boom, boom.
Hey, they were some good tweets then. Right, let's wrap this mumma jammer up. I'll do the bits that Lucy never puts in the show rundown. Dumdydum.com, go there, it's got a shop. Now, I know that I haven't really mentioned the shop in quite some time, but it's now time for us to dust off the shop, and I've said this before, I'm actually going to do it now. There's going to be many more Dumdydum goodies there for Christmas. Now, you're probably listening to this show vicariously because your partner... The headphones are so loud you can hear every word that I'm saying. So you're probably going, bloody hate that dum-de-dum. But I know that my partner, who's like probably gently snoring next to me, does, right, with the headphones on. Go on to our shop in time for Christmas. Go buy some swag.
Yes.
Yeah. So what Lucy's going to do, Lucy in the next week is going to come up with some pithy phrases. Some jokes.
Lucy's to-do list is getting noticeably longer.
And then we're going to put them on mugs, cups, t-shirts, coasters, whatever. Right, because this Christmas is going to be a dum-de-dum Christmas, folks. So go on to dumdydum.com now. Hit shop. Have a look around. If you see something you like, great, buy it. If you see that there's something on there which you know that a loved one would really appreciate, buy it. But trust me, in the next month, more Dum-de-dum goodies will be on our shop. So dumdydum.com, go there, it's got a shop. Also, tractor. Now, I know that I've been wittering on for about the last 6 months about doing meetups in Birmingham, whiskey meetups in London, and I've spunked it up the wall. It's not happened. Right, it's going to happen in San Francisco. Robin Winin, who was mentioned in Dispatches from Millie Bell. She lives up there in Sonoma. I'm going to do a dum-de-dum meetup in San Francisco because the last time we did it, we had about 12 people turn up. It was most awesome. So if you are anywhere in the Bay Area area of California, in the next 4 weeks, it's going to happen and I'm going to work it out. It probably will end up being in the city in San Francisco, probably in the Mission, probably at Pi Bar like we did before. As a venue, it worked out really well, but it is going to happen before Christmas. But go onto dumdydum.com, go to Tractor, pin yourself to that map so that you can be alerted and be warned of meetups and things like that, because people can then message you and say, hey, I want to hook up and let's talk about the Archers and maybe Dum-de-Dum 2 into the bargain. So that's dumdydum.com. It's got its Dum-de mogs and dogs too. So there you go. All right. Now, Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
This podcast survives on the enthusiasm of you and I. And Robert, because of our love.
And flop all else. That's what it survives.
No. Camp Coffee. Camp Coffee will going to come and sponsor us. But it fundamentally survives off the fact that we've got nothing else better to do with our time than talk about the Archers. And then we have a whole panoply, a whole cast of literally of thousands around the globe that kind of contribute as well. But there is another way in which people can help us, isn't there?
If you would like to help keep our little show on the road, there are two ways this can be done. You can donate by hitting the donate button on the site, or you can sponsor us via patreon.com.
Oh, that was nice and quick. It's so quick that I hadn't even got to my little bit. Right, now remember, folks, to get in contact and get on the show, you can send us a voice message via SpeakPipe, which does work with the latest update of iOS, I've now been told. So go onto your phone and just hit that red tab on dumdydum.com, and then it turns your phone into a microphone and you can talk to us. You can leave us a caller in or a message, or if you're on some old crappy phone that doesn't have such like things like iOS or the latest version of Android, you can call us on 0203-0313-105 to leave us a message the good old-fashioned way. Now, if that don't work for you, you can even send us an email if you go on to dumdydum.com by hitting the contact tab. Now, if you want to find and follow me or Lucy, on social media, specifically Twitter, you can find us where we are at dumdydum. I am at Royfield. And I've got this all about the Fritz because you've changed this. But anyway, right. And then,
and I am apparently at Naked Fingers.
Yes.
So there we are. Surprise
for everybody. And then on Facebook, There's a shed load of you on there. Each week there's new people joining that Facebook group. And I've just got to, I'm going to wind this back a second, because I did say earlier that Lucy, I and Robert do this because we love the Archers, and that goes without saying. And we do have a cast of thousands, and that cast is slowly getting bigger and bigger. Not just in terms of listenership, but also people who are giving of their time. So in the last 2 weeks, Izzy Brook, listener Izzy Brook, has started to work with me to try and kind of get some kind of sponsorships and things and whatever. So thank you for that, Izzy. But then also, I just want to say thank you again to Millie Bell and to Yoko Bear, because they did so much work. And you know, for absolutely no reward other than they just
apart from me knocking 3 minutes off their time without even having the decency to tell them.
Yeah, but as I said, Millie, if you just message me, Millie, there is a way around it. But and then Millie has been working so hard for over 3 years doing this. So big ups to you, Millie. And then also Yokel Bear, the king of the tweets. So you've probably noticed, dear listener, that on Twitter our output has kicked up in the last couple of months or so, not just in the terms of the amount of tweets, but also in just the sheer f- funniness of them, and that is down to a Mr. Yokel Bear.
Yeah.
And so we've got to say, you know, big ups to you.
In fact, so funny that, as I keep saying frequently, I keep marking them up as tweets of the week and then realising they've come from us. I'm thinking, oh, bugger.
Yeah. There is one tweet in particular which has got, the last time I looked, about 194 retweets, which is, to say that is a dum-de-dum record is putting it mildly. So Millie Bell and Yokel Bear, you know, thank you for all of your sterling support and work that you do on behalf of Lucy and I at Dum-de-Dum. So thank you for everything. Lucy, any last thoughts, any Parthian shots, any parting shots before we say goodbye?
Well, I need to go and investigate, because Sam Dean has just said we've lost another editor. So have we? Is he going, Hugh Thingy?
Wow. Well, if that is the case,
well,
I think that.
For us. Oh well, yes, no, he's gone to join the. Oh, see you then. He's gone to. We've only just welcomed him, and now he's off. He's gone to join the commissioning team at ITV.
Hmm. Well, it's a loss for us, because I think we've. At least some of the, you know, us older Archer listeners have all appreciated that definitely in the last month or so, there has been a definite turn where old Ambry seems to have come back, you know. And we've got to be, you know, we need to really appreciate when we have an editor that seems to understand the very nuance of the whole show. And, you know, we're going to, you know, it's with trepidation that we welcome on the new person. Let's hope that the powers that be that will appoint them will make the right decision in that regard.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.